We're glad that you're able to join us via live stream. That's a real gift, and we know for many, especially when we're hearing that there are so many that needing to be home. But today, we get a chance to be in the Word of the Lord. I'm going to encourage you to look in the back of your bulletin because we encourage note-taking. And part of the note-taking, you may want to say today is March 8th. This is the first day that we had Jessica Aguilar back with her daughter, Gianna. Yep, there they are in the corner. We love when the Lord grows the church with little children, and we've got our nursing mother's room that's being remodeled. Anybody smell the fresh paint? Yes, yeah, all your nose are plugged, but it's okay. And what a great day we have. You know, we've been in our series, our Sunday series has been entitled, once again, our theme, Oneness of Purpose. And we're looking at the joy of the church is that oneness. The purpose, as you and I have been enjoying, is the element of getting the news out about Jesus' forgiveness and salvation for every man, every woman, every child. So, Father, as we open our hearts, we want to thank you. Today is a OSL day, naturally, too. So we open our hearts today, Lord, speak a word that will change our lives forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is entitled, I Do, You Do, We All Do, Need the Church. So we're looking at that oneness once again. I'm going to start us off in Matthew chapter 16. If you'll find Matthew chapter 16, looking at verse 13. Naturally, first book in the New Testament. Everybody have that? If you don't have that, go ahead and nuzzle up to somebody that looks like they have a Bible or their electronic app up and going. That'll be great. Somebody hold the Bible, the other person take the notes, and that's a great teamwork that's going on there, isn't it? I love the church. I enjoy the church. We're talking what we've been discussing before, the oneness element. And one of my favorite church jokes is about the man who was stranded on an island, a sole survivor, and a search and rescue team spotted many years later, three huts. They sent in a boat to rescue that man. He said, how did you find me after all these years? They said, from the air, we saw three huts. Who do those three huts belong to? He says, well, the first one, that's my house, the survivor said. Well, what's the second one? Second one, that's the church I attend. He said, how about the third one? He says, what's the church I used to attend? But it's a beautiful thing. You can't get away from the church. We've been seeing the beauty of entrance into church is by just accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. We've been looking at that. Remember when we were taking a look at the purpose, how that God added to the church, Acts chapter 4 said, daily those who were being saved. That's how you get in. And Jesus starts the church off right here when he announces the beginning of it. And I'm in Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 13 with me. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Let's take a look at that phrase just for a moment. Jesus claims it, mine. I will build my church. And then he names it. I'm going to build my church. And that word church in the Greek is ekklesia. Ekklesia means to call out from. Literally, the church means people who are called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. Church. That's the church. These are called out ones. We're not talking structure, though sometimes people may not have the element of Bible education or exposure to that. So they just know church as an edifice or some form of group of a denomination. But church, as Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. Now, he's the builder. How's he going to build it? Well, Peter, the same way you had this aha, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's how people get into church. That's how he's going to build the church. So if you've ever confessed Jesus as your own personal Savior, You're one of the called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose, which is God's kingdom. Let me finish off verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So he names it. He's going to build it, and he's going to protect it, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. Now, the church is an amazing thing. It's absolutely phenomenal. I love the church. The best years of my life have been in church. Ainsley, my wife, and I have been married 37 years. All of those married years have been in church. We're so grateful that God has given us a faith family. We have raised all of our children in church, who nowadays each have their own families. And now our grandchildren, 9 of them, are all being raised in church. We're going to have a 10th grandchild this week. Our son Luke and Katie Harmon in Billings, Montana, are going to have a baby girl. And they've named that little girl already. Guess what? Here it is. Ainsley. Isn't that great? Hello. My son loves his mother, I'm telling you. And it's just wonderful about that. So it's amazing to have life within the church. I need the church. You need the church. We all need the church. And it's significant for us, because what God is doing and how he brings it together, it's phenomenal. Each church, as we know it, is different in its culture. It's different in its location. It's different in people's personalities. Churches in India, it's customary to take your shoes off in many places. That's the way it is. And other areas of even churches here stateside, it's just as unique and as wondrous as it is here in the West Coast. It's just phenomenal. How do you know when you're in a redneck church? Well, there are redneck churches. Here's some hints that are out there. You know you're in a redneck church when the pastor's preaching on how Jesus fed 5,000 and all they want to know of was a catfish or a bass. And what bait were they using? When it's elk season in a redneck church, they declare it a church holiday. Everybody, that's how you know. You also know when the pastor's requiring that Bubba helps receive the morning's tithes and offerings, that Bubba stands up and that's 5 men and 2 women. You know you're in a redneck church when that happens. And the offering's constantly being taken up by a 1954 Chevy hubcap. So you know that that's part of that. But you and I would say, oh, I would never go to a church like that. Well, that's the culture. It's sometimes people outside of church, they have never received Jesus. They would look at you and say, that feels like a redneck church. Isn't that true? But I do, you do, we all do need the church. When we are called out from the world to gather together for a common good, it's a beautiful thing when those things happen. It's wonderful. So though we would celebrate the book of Acts chapter 2 or 3,000 people come into church and receive Jesus, soul saved, well, that's happening, maybe not so much on a grand scale in the United States, but it's happening around the world. Even today in Africa, 20,000 people per day are coming to faith in Jesus. 10,000 people per day are coming to faith in South America. It's an amazing thing, and the church is thriving in places like China and in places that are just phenomenal to see those kinds of growth, even in India. Some persecution, got it, but it's an amazing thing. We love the church. Why is it so significant for us? Because some people say, well, I don't need the church. We really do. Here are 4 things with which we would want to say to ourselves, I do, you do. We all do need the church. And the first point is, we need God's people. Taking a look at the first point there, it's interesting because people are desirous for community today, more than ever before. They need to find an element of community. The old term for Christians to gather in community was the word, I'm going to go to fellowship today. I need fellowship. But overall, everybody's looking for community. You can find that. I mean, there are areas where people are looking for areas that reflect their hobby or their particular taste or their value system or a culture. That's why you have Boy Scouts or Girls Club or even Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a culture that people want community, and they say, that's what I need. And God created people for that. It's important for us to have community. We really need God's people. That human touch is so significant. If you take a look here, we have on the overhead Psalm 68, verse 6, which says, God sets the solitary in families. His solution for those who are isolated, I want to give you a family. It goes on and says, he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Brings out those who are bound. I can't get with people. I can't bear to face them. Sometimes if they're rebellious, he even goes on and says, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. But God's desire for those that are feeling isolated, he wants to place you into families. That's the beautiful thing. I need the church because I need family. I need you. It's so significant for us. When I'm feeling down, feeling weepish, feeling discouraged, where do I go? We had a wonderful training venue for CERTs, the FEMA CERT training. There was 11 of us. We were all at City Hall. Well, I wouldn't bring my weepish disposition down to the City Hall clerk. I wouldn't feel comfortable with it, would you? Where do you go for things like that? If you, the laundromat? No, you bring it into the church where you say, I'm facing things. That's the beauty of God's people. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:26, we have it on the overhead, which says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Where does that happen? That happens in the church. That doesn't happen in school. You ace a test, they're not going to be that happy for you. They say, hey, good for you. Or you get the promotion at work. Are they happy for you? Why was I overlooked? But see, these things happen within the body of Christ, within church. So as the digital age increases, people are excited with their Facebook count and how things, there's a hunger, a growing hunger, and it's by God's design. Amen. To have the human touch. And that's why we need the church. It's so important for us to have those elements. Leadership Magazine said that 90% of church members will stay if three things happen. First of all, if they can articulate their faith, which means they really know why they're saved. We're having water baptism. Do you know why a person needs to be water baptized? According to God's word. Those kinds of things help a person to remain in church. I know why we're doing these. Second thing is that a person would feel like they belong to a subgroup, life group. And then the third and final is that they have 4 to 8 friends in a church. People will stay in church. That element of God's people are so important. So it's great, even with all of just humanity's shortcomings, it's wonderful to walk out life with each other and realize, you know, 5 years ago, you were a wreck, but man, what a contributor you are today. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. I love my job. I get to see some children we dedicate as children. Later, we water baptize, and then I've been at pastoring so long, I marry some of those children off, and they themselves, it's just a glorious life I have to see the longevity of people. You're many, many of you are in that category. It's wonderful. I do, you do, we all do need the church, so significant. So as we take a look, point number two, why is that? Because we need God's principles, which means truth. You and I need daily doses of the truth. At the very minimum, at least once a week, maybe twice a week, around God's word, to hear God's word being declared. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it's on your overhead, says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Take a look at that phrase. There is a ground and a pillar of truth in our nation, and that is called the church. That's called the church. In the status element of public opinion, and everybody has a particular bent on what to tell you to do, something about the truth of God's word. So you can have as many voices and opinions come at you, but when it comes to the word of God, the pillar and the ground of truth, that comes from the church. That's clarion call. I love it to have that distinct idea to say, I am so thrilled to have that. When I was so grateful that this Four Square movement allowed a little printer boy in Pasadena to become a pastor, I thought, whoa, thank you, Four Square. Who are you? And to discover what Four Square is all about, I loved it. It was all about Jesus, because there's simply four stated truths: that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, that Jesus Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We come over here, we see Jesus Christ is the divine healer, and that Jesus Christ is the soon coming King. Amen. Don't we love that? Cover to cover, it's all about Jesus. And I said, that's the kind of program I want to be about. I want to be with God's people. I want to be with God's, really, his principles, so significant for us to understand and to work in that area. I like it how in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 on your overhead, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Wow, isn't it amazing? They continued steadfast. It wasn't wishy-washy. It wasn't something that they were going to do when it kind of met something to them, or when they felt motivated to get into doctrine, which means that truth teaching. Friends, I'll tell you, that is where the rubber meets the road. When people are consistent in those categories, so fantastic. Well, I do, you do, we all do need the church. And point three is because we need God's purpose. I don't know of a person yet that has not approached or conversed with me that they need a purpose for their life. And it's so true. I believe it's God-given directive to have something that is bigger than themselves. And those that feel they want to accomplish or acquire or to maintain or sustain, those things are good. But once they get this certain plateau, then they realize, what else is there? I want you to know there is nothing more purposeful than to join up and to participate in people like we are in getting the gospel out to other people, to let other people know that Jesus Christ will forgive them, that Jesus Christ will offer them eternal life. Wow, what a purpose in life. What a purpose. I need to have a purpose in life. I get to have things and things to enjoy, but give me a real purpose that goes beyond myself. Because I'm bored with myself. I want to be something greater. I can't take it with me when I die, but I can sure send it on ahead. And I want to give as much as I can to people that have that same kind of participation going on. I like Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 on your overhead. The Apostle Paul's writing says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Verse 3 on that chapter, he says, "I thank God." And one of it is for your fellowship. Another translation says, "For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Just like our missionary, Barbara Odom, we're partnering with the Odoms going to St. Lucia. We get to be a part of the startup. Who knows for how long, but that was a missionary telling the church at Philippi, thank you for your partnership. Grateful for what you're doing. It's the church. I don't have to write individuals out there. It's a group of people that realize and recognize, man, I love that about Hope Chapel. This is a going establishment to get the word out about God's love and his forgiveness. I like, too, Jesus was all about that in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Remember when they came after him, even as a young boy at age 12, he says these words. And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Wow. That is really an expression right there. I must be about my Father's business. I want to be that way too. I've got an agenda. It's like, Lord, okay, there's certain things that God gives us a chance to pick. There's that gray area. It's not sinful. It's not nothing wrong with it. That's that liberty, that free choice. But then there's some specific things that you and I know are our Father's business. Man, I want to be about that one too. I get to enjoy certain areas of where I'm going to enjoy vacation, how I'm going to enjoy leisure time. But when it comes to business of the kingdom, I want to be about that. Want to be about that. And I'm glad that I hang out with a church that is about that as well. It's wonderful to have that kind of invitation and purpose as well. Well, when it comes to that area, nothing is as sweet to be the good pleasure of God saying, way to go. Well done. Well done, Hope Chapel. So I do, you do, we all do need the church. Why? Because number four, we need God's presence. How significant is that when it comes right down to that? You say, well, there can be those, and oftentimes I'll come across people. I got God's presence. I don't need to hang out with a bunch of people. I get to know people, and they disappoint me, or they come up kind of like not perfect. So I don't need to hang out with them. I said, well, then you're not the church, because no one person constitutes the makeup of the church. We need everybody. And it sure is nice how that even 1 Thessalonians 5 says, be patient with all. Be patient with all. How will you ever see a change in a person's life if you walk, cut and run and say, man, you're not perfect enough for me. What if God did that to me? Oh, my. Give me another chance, God. No, I gave you a week to clear it up. No, what? Hello. We need God's presence. And it's so important. It's a beautiful thing about that. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, Jesus' words, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. I am there in the midst of them. There's a grace that happens when we gather in the name of Jesus. Something that's unique about that, friends. And that's where the miracles happen. I get energized. I get enriched by coming in to settings like this because you're here. Because you're here because of Jesus. Why else would we come? Food helps. I mean, that helps. But man, it's the real thing when it happens when we're saying, man, I'm hoping Jesus will do something today. That's the reason why we come. There's a grace that comes. It's like King David shouted in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad? He didn't say, I was kind of kicking and screaming on my way there. And I was glad I finally showed up. I was glad they said, let's plan to get there. There's something about it that's very enriching. And the sense God's presence. I want to thank you for going for it when it comes to worshiping God and expressing your love and enthusiasm for the Lord. It's infectious. We have people being water baptized because you show and demonstrate a relationship and a love for Jesus. Thank you for that. These are new people coming to faith in Christ. Maybe you're there watching from a distance saying, will they welcome me into this setting? The answer is yes. Answer is yes. Let's watch how the Lord formulates our lives, and let's celebrate your victories as well. So, I love the church. I love raising my family in church. I love seeing you raise your family in church. And finally, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 says this, says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Why? And by your will they exist and were created. For your pleasure, one translation says, you and I were created. God says, I'm going to get pleasure in making you. You're going to be my delight because I willed you into existence. Why, Lord? What is the purpose for my life? I just like you. I get a lot of pleasure seeing you enjoy your life too. Won't you come to me and express the joy and happiness that I have for you? Well, let's pray as we bow our heads. Father, thank you for your goodness. How wonderful it is that we get a chance to just be all about Jesus here at Hope Chapel. And that, Lord, we do need your people. Lord, we do need your principles. And how significant is it, Lord, keep reminding us of our purpose, the oneness of purpose, as well as, Lord, as we do, your presence is always with us. But those special manifestations are so unique. And if you're here right now with your head bowed, let me lead you in a prayer to receive Christ. Maybe you're here or you're watching and you're saying, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I am with the Lord. I've not had any discipleship. I'm not sure what it requires for me to be forgiven or to have that assurance of eternal life. I want to lead us all in a prayer right now. This could be that day. You can mark this day where you receive Jesus. Let's pray this prayer out loud. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Savior of the world and that you came to earth to give your life for me. I confess to you now my sins, Almighty God. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I trust you now for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Jesus, help me grow. Help me know the way you have for me. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Glory to God. If you prayed that prayer, I would really enjoy having you come be a part of our water baptism conversation. Love to share with you what that is all about too. And you who prayed that prayer via live stream, wouldn't it be great? It's helpful to testify and to give an expression, I prayed that prayer. Or if you feel uncomfortable, just share with somebody somewhere. But water baptism is a great expression. Well, I want to encourage you right now. We're going to get back into worship. So significant is our time of prayer here at the altar. And as you stand to your feet, I'm going to invite our altar prayer team to come forward. Let's watch what God does. Whatever you need prayer for, however you need God to work in your life, find that lady to pray with ladies, men to pray with men, and just say, this is what I need God to do in my life. We've already seen some great miracles. Let's worship the Lord too.
Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. The darkest night, you can light it up, you can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome, you've already won. Come awaken your people. Come city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just wait just a little bit longer. The Lord may have a word that he has for us this morning. Wait just a little bit longer. Sean, do you have that microphone, Sean Knight? You might, just in case, let's just see if God has something he wants to just confirm about the beauty of the body of Christ. And if you have a word that you feel God has shared beyond just for yourself that you want to share and say, I feel God has this encouraging word, this word of directive, just raise your hand. I want to just okay, Jasmine over here. Oh, sorry.
I always think of he is a shield to those who take refuge in him, because middle school is really hard, and then when I come to church, I just feel all happy and just revived, and I'm just ready to head back again and face everything that's challenging.
Way to go, Jasmine. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. We have a mic for you.
Okay. I just hear, just as we've been singing this song, just actually this whole worship set, he's just been telling me over and over, just I'm breaking off the fear of man, just breaking off the fear of man right now, not only for you, but for my church.
Amen.
And I'm doing that because I want them to enter in. I want them to not keep me in a box. I want them to see me. I want them to encounter me in a way, this love encounter that's beyond what we can imagine. And when we don't put God in a box, we get to experience him in a different way that's just more incredible than we've done already. And that's
Thank
what he's
you,
trying
Lord.
To do. It's part of this whole revival thing.
Praise
that's
God.
What I just kept hearing him say. I'm breaking off the fear of man.
Breaking
church.
Off fear of man.
And, I just, real quick, heard kidneys. I want to declare healing over someone's kidneys right now that are being healed in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
And so let's all stand in agreement for those kidneys. I don't know who you are, but kidneys are being healed right now in Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Jesus.
So if that's for you, let Pastor Paul know that that's you, because you're healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. And I just want to add, I'm just so glad that that is you. And if you have any ailment, this is where it happens. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. That's the way the Lord designed the body of believers. I get energized being around you. Thank you for being here. No, we really come for the Lord, but I get my socks blessed off when I see you here. So thank you very much for being here. I want to encourage you. I'm going to invite Sean Knight, if you would usher our missionary, Barbara and Stephanie, to the information table that's there, and you might want to say hello on your way out. You who are just wanting to investigate water baptism, would you come join me right through the fellowship hall door? I'll take 5 minutes and give you some instruction. It's next Sunday at 11 o'clock service. We're excited. If you've never been water baptized, never have professed publicly your faith in Jesus, boy, that is so significant. That is so significant. Let me pray off a blessing. Father, we love you. We want to thank you for bringing healing and encouragement. So, Lord, thank you for the word that was spoken at the end here, how encouraged we all are, how we refuse to let fear of man dictate, and how you are mindful of our ailments right down to healing, what only you can do. So, Lord, let us now take what you have instilled in each one of us. May people observe something very noticeable this week, and we can attribute it because we were with the church on Sunday in Jesus' presence, and we thank you for that. Amen? Thank you, everyone. You're dismissed. It's been a great day. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at
office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.